the man sitting across from me right now, called him home. The track announcer here at the Big 8 does 1,001 things here at the New York Racing Association, John Imbrial. John, congratulations on being the Stuart Morris Industry Star of the Week.
I appreciate that, Anthony. I had never thought I would be that.
The unsung hero here at the New York Racing Association. I think if we polled all of the people that worked here, you would certainly know, you probably wouldn't just be a finalist, you would be the winner of that award. Because all you want to do is help people. And I am the epitome of you helping people, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Bobby Hall did a great job on a story about you getting ready for this winter and you taking over the duties in the booth. I don't think a lot of people know your story, so why don't you just give us a little bit of a background on John Imbrial?
Well, it started a little while ago, actually 40 years ago. It was the summer of 1979, if you want to go back that far. I was working at a place called Sports Phone, which I think perhaps some of your players out there might be familiar
Absolutely.
With that. Back in the day, for the younger people, that was before there was the internet and before there was ESPN, and people who might have wanted to get some scores would call this phone number, 976-1313, and get updates. And I was doing the updates at the time. That was my first job out of college. And my uncle
grew up on Long Island, right?
Grew up, born in Glendale in Queens, but grew up in Commack, correct? Okay. Same place Bob Costas grew up at.
Wow.
But he's got on and done done a few better things than I have in a bigger way. But anyway, so my uncle sees this ad, and I had a horse racing interest. I mean, and my uncle sees this ad in the Daily News that says there's an announcer's contest. It wasn't to get an announcer's job. If you won the contest, you got a job in what we call then the press office. We're more sophisticated now. We call it the communications department. Anyway, I entered. We got down to, there was final three. We all called a live race at Belmont. That was, at that point, the most nervous I had ever been in my life doing anything. Fortunately, I was given the position. And since then, I've been fortunate to do a lot of different things with Naira, and here we are 40 years later.
Give the fans some of the things you've done here, because I mean, your role has changed a bunch. I mean, you've done so many things here, it's not even funny.
It's changed a bunch of times, which I think for me is good. I kind of make the comparison with the fact that I like going to the three different tracks. I like the mix of that. Some people would say, doesn't it bog you down as far as packing? Well, first of all, I only have a couple of pens and a pair of binoculars to pack when I'm calling. But anyway, excuse me. So when I first started, actually, we were involved in the very first media guide that was done in the communications department. And back then, it was typing, you know, again, that wasn't the computer time. But anyway, so we did that, and I did backstretch notes and things like that, interviews. It eventually morphed into a little more in behind-the-scenes stuff in TV. I was fortunate enough to sit in on all the production meetings for the weekly Frank Wright, Charles E. Candy show.
Wow! So I didn't know that.
I got to know them a little bit, which was really a lot of fun. And I would help Frank with Frank Langton, who's the main person who knows all about the videos that we have down in the TV truck. If Frank Wright was going to do a feature on You Pick the Horse, I would try to see if we had any old footage, and that's the way, you know, he and I got to know each other pretty well. I would go to his barn a lot in the morning, one, to do my rounds for the communications department, but then he had a great, you can relate to this, Anthony, in his office, he would be there, Vic Gilardi would be there, a trainer would stop by. It was just a great way, you know, to start
the day. Court.
He would hold court, exactly right. But just getting that knowledge in so many ways and the opportunity to sit in on, and actually the first time I really experienced an on-air person who really didn't use a lot of notes, Frank, that was Frank's show. He produced it. He was the main host. Obviously, Charles E. came along and, you know, eventually was tremendous and did network work herself. But you know, to see Frank just to have he would have a couple of index cards, that he would just reference to, but he was just really good at making it sound conversational, like it wasn't scripted, and as an offshoot of that, the next person who I observed do that was Harvey Pack.
Best.
And he was just tremendous. His basic knowledge of horse racing, because it went back to the time he was a kid, that, you know, he just knew everything right off the top of his head. He very rarely had a note, very rarely. And then I got to work with him. The Inside Racing Show came along. We co-hosted that. Eventually, I did the Thoroughbred Action Show for about 7 years, I guess it was. And in the meantime, I did work in the simulcasting department. I tried to go through some old the old pictures that we had up here, as well as the old the videos and stuff. And then I eventually got involved in the TV production end of it and did some commercials, did some voiceovers. That's it. Here we are. On a little chilly Saturday morning.
A little chilly.
Heck, what I didn't know in November.
It's like saying I need to lose a little weight, saying it's a little chilly today.
But time really, it is kind of hard to believe.
40 years.
It's been 40 years, yeah. And again, I mentioned a few people that I've, you know, come across with.
I mean,
but to be able to.
We could fill 2 hours.
We have to be able to work with, first of all, Marshall Cassidy spent an unbelievable amount of time with me. I would go next door from the announcer's booth and, you know, talk into a microphone, call a race. I'd go back in with him. He'd review it with me. You know, he spent a lot of time. And then, you know, I eventually got to call a few races. And then Tom Durkin eventually, you know, took over. And just to be surrounded by, just think of that. I mean, sometimes I got to take a step back. I was surrounded by Frank Wright, Charles E. Canty, Harvey Pack, Tom Durkin. It doesn't get much higher on the meters when it comes to what those people contributed to the sport.
When you were growing up, and maybe this was a thought to be an announcer, did you have anybody you looked up to? Did you have a favorite?
We used to, me and my brother, I mean, this is kind of everybody. Me and my brother used to imitate Cappy. I mean, you know, he just had that distinctive...
Fred Capicella.
He just had that distinctive nasal voice. And, you know, we all did that, playing around with it. I wasn't as big a horse racing fan as my brother was.
Okay.
You know, a little bit here and there. What, as everybody has, it's like your first love, your first horse is the one that you always remember. And it was a firm that got me hooked. So that was actually a year and a half or so before I actually started here. But we were here for that Belmont. We were here for the Slough Belmont.
My mom's favorite horse.
He'll remain my favorite horse. But that, and it's very hard to have people understand the impact that Coffin had at the time. I mean, he was everywhere. I mean, he was, if it was now, he would be an internet, social media, unbelievable star. It wasn't like that back then, but he was still an amazing star. What he did for those couple of years, and how many, you go back and check the records, what he had then, and then of course it was him, the young rider, with a firm, the great battle with Ali Dar. You couldn't script it any better.
No, you couldn't. No, we don't have those rivalries, unfortunately. Well, hopefully we get one of these days.
You never know. You never know. Hopefully we will.
Let's talk about the booth a little bit. You have a favorite moment in the booth? You have a favorite booth? Let's talk that one. Is this your favorite place?
It's the favorite booth because it's the you have the easiest the sight locations, the sight lines. Belmont presents a problem because the place is so big, and as you know now, because you know you've called a few over there, you know how small those horses are on the backstretch. You go from seeing horses here to seeing dots, you know,
place
over
is
there.
No joke, man.
Yeah, and I haven't called a lot at Saratoga recently, but it is almost like an obstacle course because you step to your right and there's a pole. You've got the trees on the backstretch. When they raise the rail going around the far turn, coming to the top of the stretch, that presents an issue. So that's a little bit tricky. Now, the one advantage with Saratoga is you are closer to the action. That doesn't give you a good angle when they're coming at you in the stretch, but you are right on top of them in comparison to Belmont being on the, would that be the fifth floor?
We're on like the seventh floor, yeah, I think.
Well, you know, way up there. And here there's just no obstructions. You know, it's straightforward. It's a mile and an eighth. So, you know, this is, from that standpoint, this is my favorite place.
You have your most, the most memorable race you called?
when Tom retired, I got to call the races in the fall at Belmont. And for a variety of reasons, some positive, some negative, the one that sticks out for me, and, you know, I think that all of us can go back and say we should have done A, B, and C in a particular race, and maybe I would have changed something. That being said, it's the stuff that happens that you don't expect that you hope you react to well. So that year was the year in the Jockey Club Gold Cup
yep.
when Rajiv was unseated. And
the first time.
Yeah, right. So, you know, that I can't say that it was my favorite call, but that's obviously a major stakes race. And, you know, you just hope that it came out okay because of that, you know, that major incident and unexpected. And that one sticks out. You played the Gotham before. I like that. And I know this is going to sound trivial or I'm evading the question, but for me, and I hope that this is the case, if the first race today turns out to be a good one, that becomes my favorite call because it's just the one that happened. And you can't, you know, and Tom Durkin taught me a lot of things. And one of the main things he said was that we are servicing the public. That in that, race one on a Saturday or race four on a Thursday, there's a lot of money invested. People have an interest out there. That race might be more important to them than the stakes race, you know, on Cigar Mile Day. You know, so you try to take it that way, and you hope your enthusiasm is proper for whatever the race, however the race turns out and whatever the race might be.
Well, I know you're not on social media, but everybody loves this time of year, loves getting to hear you on a regular basis. And on behalf of everybody here at NYRA, that you've helped and made our lives easier, in my case, exponentially better, thank you.
I appreciate all your kind words. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Anthony.
All right, John.